Hey, welcome to episode 209. We try to hop on some Fridays to talk about new music if there's a lot to talk about, which there is. It's a pretty good music day, man. Why don't we start with Miranda Lambert, who has Wildcard out today? It's her seventh album. There's also the duet with Maren Morris on there, and people have been waiting a long time for this record. By the way, let me say this before I play a clip of this one. Her last record was my favorite record of hers because it was just so songwritery.
Right up your alley, yeah.
That's just my style. Mm-hmm. But she's gone back to more of her traditional sound. But here's the clip of her and Maren doing Way Too Pretty for Prison. So, I like Miranda's music, but I love the that last record, because that was, like, I could just be sad. Like,
it's a double album, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It was like, she's written a bunch of songs, nowhere to put it, let's just put it all on one record. Yeah. And then it won a bunch of awards, because it was so artisty. So, Miranda's got a new record out today. Hootie and the Blowfish has a new record called Imperfect Circle, and I'm such a Hootie. I would say that, yeah, I'm going to say it, I'm a Hootie stan. I'm a Hootie stan. Those two words have probably never been used together because they're generationally so far apart.
It's far apart.
I love Hootie and the Blowfish, one of my most listened to albums ever, which later on in this podcast, Eddie's going to come by and we're going to talk about our most listened to album, Mount Rushmore. But Hootie has a record called Imperfect Circle. Now, I want to start with, do we have a clip of Hold On?
Yeah.
This is their single, Hold On. Hold On, written by Chris Stapleton and Jim Beavers, who did a podcast with us a few back. And he talks about this song.
Yeah.
Not knowing if it's going to be the single.
He plays the work tape of it.
We have the Chris Stapleton work tape.
He plays it, yeah.
And so it's in that.
In that podcast.
So go check that out. But I love Hootie and the Blowfish. There's also a song co-written by Ed Sheeran with the guys called Wildfire Love. Is a love, burning love. Well, there's a wildfire love, taking everything it sees. Cool. There's also, I'll give you a few songs here. Rollin'. Cause that sun's gonna shine, leaving these clouds. Miss California. Miss California. And some of it sounds so much like Hootie from the 90s, and some of it's pretty like contemporary. You can tell they're going, hey, we can do some country stuff with this.
Yeah.
So I'm really rooting for Hold On to be a big hit. When Darius puts out songs, they're all big hits. This doesn't sound that different than just Darius putting out a song. I love this song.
It's good.
I didn't know it was going to be the single, but they played it at iHeartRadio Music Festival, and I was like, oh, this song's real good. And you root for your people to put out good music, and when they don't, you go, oh, no. Like, how am I going to face my friends? But luckily, it's good. Really good. The Charlie's Angel soundtrack is out, featuring Ariana Grande. She teamed up with Miley Cyrus and Lana Del Rey for a song called Don't Call Me Angel. And Ariana hopped on a track with Normani and Nicki Minaj. We have a clip of this one. This is called Bad to You. None of the Ariana Grande songs are good to me until I hear them about 1,000 times. Then they're great to me.
It takes a minute.
And then I just can't get them out of my head. I don't hear it once and go like, that's my jam. But it's forced through the pop stations. I listen to like Z100. Or I listen to Kiss FM in Los Angeles, and I'm like, I hate this song, I hate this song. I love this song. There is no middle with these Ariana Grande songs. And I always end up loving them. Bad to You, is that this one?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll read you some other, let's see, Yellow Wolf. Remember Yellow Wolf from back in the day?
I remember the name.
He's like a white rapper.
Yeah.
And I think is he still with Eminem in that camp or no?
I think so.
He has stuff out today. Mariah Carey has a Merry Christmas, a deluxe edition of her All I Want for Christmas Is You, a bunch of rare stuff. Cold War Kids, who I've seen at ACL a couple times. Never been a huge fan of, but always been a moderate fan of, where if they're just playing at a stage nearby, I'd walk over. So Cold War Kids have music out today. Montgomery Gentry has some stuff out today. I think that's pretty much it as far as albums. We have four new songs. Do we have clips of these songs?
Yep.
Kane Brown put out a new song. He just had a daughter. And he has a song called For My Daughter, which I thought was pretty good. Here's a clip of that. Hey, I grew up without a dad. I'm gonna be the best one I can be. They say dads are supposed to shape you in a way, I guess mine did. Dua Lipa has a song, which I was looking at Twitter ready for it. I guess she has a pretty hardcore fan base.
Oh, yeah.
This is called Don't Start Now. Don't come out. I like that. That's funky, huh? I like that. I don't even need to hear anymore. I'm in.
It's the bass.
What's her other song, her big song?
What is it?
I know she had the one that was like Shut the F Up or something. Yeah. Different one. Yeah, look that up. Because she had a massive song.
Oh, New Rules.
Oh, yeah.
I got new rules.
Turn the music down so you can sing it.
I got new rules or something.
I got new rules. I got a... And it's like, rule one. Yeah.
One. Yeah. Just like that.
Haim has a song called Now I'm In It. And Mandy Moore has a song, huh?
Yeah.
What's this from?
She's like working on a new project, like really folky. She's putting out music again.
Oh, okay. I like folky Mandy Moore. She did some stuff as folky Mandy Moore before she got out of music.
Yeah.
This is called I'd Rather Lose. So, do we want to take a break? And then do the news, and then we'll do the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, the Bee Gees are getting their own biopic. That'll be good.
Yeah.
And I think, man, if you can get your own biopic now,
it's your like music... The thing to do now.
And your music resells like crazy, restreams. You can retour. So Paramount... But they're not all alive, right?
No.
Okay. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with the producer of Bohemian Rhapsody and making a movie about the Bee Gees. They sold over 220 million records.
It's crazy.
Barry Robin and Maurice Gibb, they started in the 50s, but they wrote songs for Saturday Night Fever, and that's where they blew up, like songs like this,
yeah.
And that disco type stuff. So they're like, all right, we're on. And so they're rolling with it. I wish I knew more. I know they wrote Islands in the Stream.
Yeah.
And they sang it. Yeah, they wrote this. I wish I knew more about the Bee Gees to go, this would be a great movie. I just think it's fun whenever they do these old movie people. Like, I like biopics.
I mean, even with the Queen movie, I didn't know a lot about Queen. And watching that, I was like, oh, that's awesome. And it made me go back and listen to their music.
Tool, the band Tool, started a fire in the studio while recording their new album. Which I did not think I would like the new album, and I don't listen to it a lot. But when I'm on an airplane and I'm exhausted, I put the new Tool album on. Because I don't have to worry about tracks. They're like 15-minute songs.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a 15-minute, a 13-minute, an 11-minute. There's a couple short ones too. Like every other one's like shorter. But when they were recording their new album, they lit candles. The drummer was playing, so already knocked candle over and set one of his drums on fire. They were putting candles in for the ambiance of the room, apparently. I didn't know there was 13. Again, I'm not a huge Tool fan. I got caught up in seeing the data from Tool beating Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let me check this out. And then I was like, oh, I kind of like this. Because it's not hard metal. It can still be heavy.
Industrial.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And so 13 years between albums.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. I know that Schism was a big song back when I was young. Maybe their biggest song. Do you know Tool Schism?
No.
Pull it up and see if you play it. And while you're doing that, My Chemical Romance is back. And so they're going to play for the first time since 2012. Do you know this?
I don't think I've ever heard this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that was Tool.
That lick is so famous. Because I used to listen to The Edge in Dallas.
I did too.
Yeah, and you're from Dallas, yeah. But I would have a friend just record like an hour and then an hour on the other side and just mail me the tapes. And this reminds me of listening to The Edge in Dallas. I don't know if it's their biggest song or not, but this is the one I remember most from them.
I mean, even this song, 6:42.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Do you have any My Chemical Romance?
Yeah.
What's this?
This is Sing.
Okay. The song I know from them is Welcome to the Black Parade. When I was That song, it's so good. And people would give them crap.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was very scene, very emo. And
did people feel like they weren't real?
Like it was gimmicky, yeah. I did a thing that I'm not like proud of now.
What?
I loved Alkaline Trio. They were one of my favorite bands growing up. And they toured with My Chemical Romance. And I hated My Chemical Romance so much I left before they played. Because My Chemical Romance was headlining, and I wanted to see Alkaline Trio, but I didn't want to see My Chemical Romance. So I left.
Your protest?
I protested. But then I was like, man, they're actually a pretty good band.
I guess I'm not into the scene enough to have respect for what's punk and what's not. I just like the music.
The scene is very posery.
Do you feel like they were posery?
Looking back, no. But I was like 14, and I'm like, oh, that's lame. It's like mall punk.
Why'd they break up?
The main guy does like a bunch of other different stuff, and then they just broke up.
Anything I would know the main guy does?
The Umbrella Academy.
The movie?
The TV show.
The TV show?
He wrote the graphic novel for that it's based on.
He wrote the book?
That's his comic book.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't seen Umbrella Academy on Netflix, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for Umbrella Academy 2. And he wrote the book.
He wrote the...
I thought you were going to say he's an actor in the movie. It's going to say, oh, good for him. But no. He wrote the freaking book.
The comic book series, he wrote it.
Wow. My mind's blown a little bit. What else you got? You do anything else you know of?
That's about it.
What other songs do they have? Because I know that one.
That was a big one. I'm Not Okay.
When I was a young boy. Yeah, that's a good one, though. Yeah, that's good. How many people do you know that get excited about luggage? I do. I travel all the time. And Away suitcases are known as lifestyle luggage because they help you get more out of your travel time in ways that you'd never think about until you're actually away. Listen, I'm an expert in suitcases. Like, they have the built-in TSA-approved lock, the ejectable battery, which is awesome, or built-in compression pad. That's what helps you pack in even more than the average carry-on. The suitcase is awesome. I don't feel like I'm an expert in many things, but this I do. My favorite part is the charger. I don't have to hug a wall at the airport to charge my phone. I just charge it right there in my suitcase. Away luggage is lightweight, comes in a bunch of colors and materials, and its minimal design is sized just right by TSA standards. Its wheels are multi-directional. Again, not an expert on much, but I am suitcases. It's a great gift idea for the person that travels or for your own travel. Right now, Away is offering $20 off a suitcase of your choice. Just visit awaytravel.com/bobbycast and use that promo code Bobby. awaytravel.com/bobbycast. You'll love it, I promise you. All right, going to bring in Eddie for this part of the show. We're going to do our Mount Rushmore of most listened to albums of all time. So not favorite, but most listened to.
Yes. Well, this was fun because, I don't listen to a lot of albums now, so it just took me back to a time when that's what I did. Listen to full albums from start to finish.
And earlier I mentioned that Hootie and the Blowfish, which you weren't here for that part, is one of my most listened to albums ever. I listened to it so much being in high school that when I go, what have I listened to the most? That was it. So I'll go first. These are our Mount Rushmores are 4 + 1.
Yep.
Because everybody's always like, let me do one more.
Right. Yes. Thanks for letting us do that.
So that's my Mount Rushmore is 5 people, but that's why it's 4. But just do one more.
Please, please, please.
And the plus one doesn't have to be the 5th one. It can just be, it's just 5. There are 5 heads on our version of Mount Rushmore. Mine, I put John Mayer Continuum as one of my most listened to albums.
Mm.
Possibly my favorite album of all time. Probably my favorite album of all time. It's tough. Yes, my favorite album of all time.
This is a good one.
Yeah, turn this one up. And Gravity. This is Gravity. And I was right in that stage of my life where you're starting to make all the big decisions. And so that music when you're in your mid, late 20s.
Yes.
Even early 30s. It's like the adult decision album where you're like, all right. So like I associate all that with like my life taking big turns. And
it even has like a very soothing feel to the whole album. Like, it's not really rocking or anything. It's got a cool, it's like you are growing up, because even John Mayer and his music was kind of growing up in this album too.
The only kind of rocking song on there is the Jimi Hendrix cover. But yeah, it's a pretty light bluesy record.
Easy listening.
Beastie Boys' License to Ill is on my Mount Rushmore of most listened to albums.
Wait, when did you start listening to this?
Obviously not right when it came out.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea that it was out in like 86 or something.
Mm-hmm. Before us.
Yeah.
We were alive, but we weren't able to pick our music.
So probably when I was like 9, like 88, 89, because Fight for Your Right was still a song, still an anthem. But I just remember watching Beastie Boys and going, wow, those kind of dorky white guys are rapping and they're doing rock. That's cool. And so this is one of my most listened to albums. I know every song on it. Girls or No Sleep Till Fight for Your Right, all of it. Hootie and the Blowfish, Let Her Cry. This is the song Let Her Cry, but Cracked Rearview was the record.
High school?
Yeah, 12th grade. Yeah. Every day. Wore out the tape. I had the tape, and yes. I would switch it, just turn it.
I didn't own this one.
You didn't own
it? I didn't own
you
it.
You were the
all,
one person.
But all my friends had it, so I listened to it all the time.
I had played this tape so much that it started to burn on the side of it. All of the words were burning off the cassette.
Yeah, it's like you couldn't read what cassette it was.
And I treated it like I do The Office now. I just watch it in real, I just over and over again. I don't fast forward. I don't skip. I would just play every song off of it. And later in my life, a story I've mentioned on the show, Darius played an album cut for me at a show once. I was like, man, I used to love that song, Running From Angel. He's like, man, thought about that one in 15 years. I didn't know he was going to go work it up. Went and worked it up, and they played it at the show. Now, it was really crazy.
Yeah.
So far, I have John Mayer, Continuum, Beastie Boys, License to Ill, Hootie and the Blowfish, which is Cracked Rearview. And I started, it's all most listened to albums at different parts of my life. As I can see here, it's like kid. Then it was like high school.
Yep.
Then it was the 20s. And so these are really the leaders in the clubhouse for all of the stages of my life. And as I were to go to my 30s, like early mid 30s, it's same trailer, different part from Casey Musgraves.
Oh, wow.
Every song, nonstop.
You would come in a lot talking about B-sides or songs that no one even knew existed on that album. You'd be like, dude, this is a good one. You should listen to that one.
Her first record. And it's when we started here, too.
Yes.
And it was just all the time. And her and Old Dominion are my favorite country artists, like contemporary country artists.
Yeah.
And so this more than even Golden Hour, which won all the awards. But I think Golden Hour wouldn't have existed had Pageant Material, which I listen to a lot, which is the second one. And obviously, same trailer, different park. But I think this is on my Mount Rushmore of most listened to albums. And then the cheater was I did Live in Central Park from Garth.
That's a cheater because it's greatest hits.
But I
for many years.
I would know the cheater parts. Like the parts he would talk.
Yeah.
Because I would listen to this record so much. Here's Shameless. And I had the VHS and I'd watch him swing out into the crowd. And I know it's a greatest hits, but if I did have the CD, the greatest hits, the Live in Central Park.
No rules. You can do whatever you want. This is on your Mount Rushmore. This is your Mount Rushmore, dude.
I know. And I don't even really like live albums that much, unless they're comedy albums. But if I were just really tabulating what I've listened to the most, it would be Garth Live in Central Park. Close next one up was Chili Peppers.
Oh, which one?
Sex, Hot, Magic.
Oh, yes.
That one was a lot of that. A lot of Weezer, Blue Record, Nirvana. Nevermind.
Nirvana, do you like the, don't you like the Unplugged?
My favorite record is so Nirvana would, yeah. Unplugged, okay. But I probably listen to Nevermind a lot more, that baby one, mm-hmm, when it first came out. Yeah. Favorite is Unplugged.
Yeah.
Probably listen to Nevermind more, though. So that's mine. John Mayer, Continuum, Beastie Boys, License to Ill, Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rearview, Casey Musgraves, same trailer, different park, Garth Brooks, Live in Central Park. That's my five most listened to album, Mount Rushmore. All right, Eddie, I brought you in to also take part in this.
I believe that this is why we're such good friends and we get along so well. Because, dude, it's so similar. We did not talk about this beforehand, but I'm starting with Garth Brooks' Rope in the Wind because that was a cassette. That was one of my first cassettes ever. And there's a theme, too, that I found a lot of these artists that ended up being my favorite artists of all time on their third record. I really wasn't big on first Garth Brooks. I really wasn't big on No Fences. Big around like my school and people always played it, but I didn't buy it. But I started getting the Garth Brooks, this is really good stuff. But I didn't catch it until the third album, Rope in the Wind. So when I bought Rope in the Wind, again, dude, I couldn't see the cassette, the writing on the cassette after a while. It was worn out. And I remember that Garth was on Capitol Records because after all of the ink had gone away from the cassette, all that would stay was the Capitol Records logo. Like, that's how I remember that he was on Capitol Records. But Rope in the Wind to me, number one on my Mount Rushmore.
And also, if you bought music back then, you had to spend your own money on it. You know, you talk about records you bought, then became your favorite. You felt even more so like you were invested in it.
You're getting your money's worth.
Like,
too.
I spent this money, I better love it. Right. And if I don't, I'm going to force myself to love it.
Right, because I remember being at the record or the Walmart even, just kind of looking at like, is it worth buying? I don't know if I'm going to listen to it that much.
First up, Garth Brooks, Rope in the Wind.
Yes.
Next up in your album of Mount Rushmore, most listened to.
My all-time favorite band, again, their third album, Pearl Jam, Vitalogy. Not their best album.
I was going to say, I like this album a lot, but I'm not a hardcore Pearl Jam fan. And when I would say it's my favorite album, people would be like, no, man, that's not the best album.
This is, I think, when America started to lose interest in Pearl Jam. But again, it was their third album, and I had found them. I had heard all their other stuff, but this was my first, again, record store commitment of, all right, I'm going to buy a Pearl Jam record.
Did you buy the CD?
I did.
Because I bought the CD, too. I got it from, like, Columbia House.
That's where I got mine, too.
So, and I remember the dark cover.
Yes.
And it just said Vitalogy. And, like, gold letters or yellow letters.
And were you like me? We're like, I don't know how to pronounce that word. I don't even know what that word means.
No, I'm pretty good at words.
Oh, yeah, you were smart.
Yeah, I was pretty good at words. I just remember that Bugs song on there.
It was him and Eddie Vedder and accordion doing, I want bugs.
Yeah.
I got bugs in my room.
That's a good one.
Yes.
What else?
So, all right, that's Pearl Jam. Next, I'm shocked that you didn't pick this.
I know. I couldn't put two greatest hits because this is why. I didn't want to mention two greatest hits because I felt like a sellout. But yes, I know what you're going to say.
Well, the next three are greatest hits albums because it's I can do whatever I want. But I did Counting Crows live across a wire.
Which I call it across a live wire, and I always have.
Is that wrong?
No, I don't know. Mike, what's the official? You're probably right. I just realized that I call it across a live wire.
Let me check.
This.
I'm not sure what it's called, but it was a double disc set.
Blue and red.
Correct. Two different shows.
Blue was the acoustic VH1 Storytellers.
Yep.
Red was the MTV.
Full band live, yeah. Whatever it called. It was both in New York City. Dang, dude. So I was dating my girlfriend. We were dating. She lived in Austin. I lived in Huntsville, Texas, going to Sam Houston State. And I would drive to visit her. And this was my music every single time. And I would time it out perfect. Both CDs would end. I'd listen to both, and it would be done as soon as I pulled up to her house. It was perfect timing.
This with us is the record we probably quote the most with each other. The talking parts. Hey, madam.
Yes. Hey.
My favorite band, Counting Crows. It's the very beginning, the guy who's doing the intro. And at the end of the Red album, the guy's like, Adam's talking about cleaning up that disgusting river. The
Hudson River.
Yeah, and he's like, I want to thank Dog's Eye View.
Being on the road with Peter has been a blast,
it's
man.
It's a blast, man. Get a pamphlet when you walk out. So this record is, Mike, what's it called?
Across a Wire.
Okay, I got it right.
Yeah, Live Across a Wire.
Oh,
yeah, good for you. Yeah, it's a great, great record.
Again, it's greatest hits, it's live, so that would be my live record. And then number four, oh man, this is just anthem of my beach life, Bob Marley. But it's legend. So to me, this is the greatest album of all time. It's a greatest hits, but I wasn't around when Bob Marley was producing hits. So to me, this was the album to have. It's got Jammin', Three Little Birds. It's got the Jamaica theme song of... Is This Love? It's every Bob Marley song that everyone knows, it's on this album.
Never been a Bob Marley guy.
Weird.
Yeah, I love Three Little Birds, like a couple of the big, big, big ones, but never, all the songs sound so the same to me.
It's got the same rhythm for the most part, a little upbeat rhythm, reggae beat, but.
You did grow up on the beach though.
I did. Well, I grew up 45 minutes from South Padre, so like that was my life. And it leads to my fifth Mount Rushmore, which is Jimmy Buffett.
The greatest hits?
This is Songs I Know by Heart. Again, wasn't around by when Jimmy Buffett was making hits, but high school to me, man, I mean, it was just me and my buddies. We like to surf and we like to underage drink, and I feel like that was what Jimmy Buffett always talked about, the ocean life, fishing, drinking, Margaritaville, whatever. It's kind of just how I live my life, so we would play this music all the time. And I remember, I mean, Jimmy Buffett's got some curse words in some songs. He's songs about weed or whatever. And my dad, he's like, I really like this music. Let me borrow your CD. And he went and put it in his car and listened to it. He came back. He's like, I don't want you to listen to this crap ever again. I'm like, Dad, come on. It's so good. But I'll never forget. My dad wanted to actually, for the first time in his life, listen to what I was listening to. That was a big step because my dad doesn't like music. And he was like, let me borrow that CD. I like the way that sounds. Huh. He came back. He's like, you can take that back. I don't want that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, you have Garth Brooks, Rope in the Wind, Pearl Jam, Vitalogy, Counting Crows, Across a Wire. If three greatest hits record, I'm not going to call you a sellout because you can make the rules. Sellout. Bob Marley, Legend, and Jimmy Buffett, Songs You Know by Heart. Mike D's throwing his up here real quick. Mike D, go. You're much more of the punk guy. Yours is?
Number one, Lemuria, Get Better.
I don't hear this.
I don't even know. I know he loves them, but...
Got their tattoo on my arm.
Yeah, he does. That's why I know him, just from his tattoo.
Mike, is the tattoo from this album?
Yeah.
Do you direct message with them?
Yeah.
You friends with them?
Yeah, a little bit.
Huh.
It's kind of cool.
Do they sell... What do they sell?
Like, big punk clubs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they pretty big in the punk world?
Yeah, they're pretty big.
What else you got?
I have Blink-182, Enema of the State.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Come on.
I used to do college radio and play this one all the time. Play this whole record. This is the porn star on the cover, right?
Yep.
With she's in the nurse outfit.
Got the needle.
The gloves.
Is it Jenna Jameson?
That's it. No. I don't think it's Jenna Jameson. No.
I forget who.
I know so few porn people. They have to like cross into pop culture world for me to know who it is.
And she did for a little bit after that. I forgot her name. It's not Jenna Jameson, though.
It's the only one I know. Does Jenna Jameson do porn anymore?
I don't think so. She was married to somebody.
Janine Lindemulder.
Oh, yeah, no idea. She was married to, like, Tito Ortiz,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Tito Ortiz. Yeah.
Okay, so Blink-182, Enema of State. Not only had What's My Age Again, but did it have All the Small
All
Things?
All the Small Things, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, what else did it have on there?
It had Aliens Exist, Mutt.
Any other singles that I would know?
Adam's Song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How does that one go?
Sad.
Oh, I never thought I'd die alone.
Da, 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 da.
I think I knew that one.
All right, what else?
And then I have Newfound Glory, Sticks and Stones.
You were everything I wanted. Is this My Friends Over You?
Yeah.
I choose My Friends Over You.
That's it. That's my jam, man.
Turn that up. Friends over you.
Yeah, this is sixth grade for me.
Mike, do you mosh?
Like, yeah. When
you
go to
hard. He puts it on his Instagram story.
That's my favorite thing. That's why I go to these shows.
Do you punch and kick or
you just push, you get up front, you sing out loud, and then you don't punch though. It's fun.
Oh, you don't punch?
No.
I LOL at his moshing Instagram stories.
Because he's quiet, Mike.
Yeah.
It's a great release of just energy, and everybody else is like, I mean, it's a fun thing. Nobody's like trying to hurt anybody.
Okay, you all respect each other.
Yeah, and if somebody falls, you pick them up. You're not
or
trying to fight.
Nobody respects anybody equally.
Whoa.
Or that.
Yeah. Equally though.
But I mean, some shows like people like spit and stuff. That's kind of gross.
Yeah. What else you got?
I have Post Malone, Stoney, his first album.
Mike D. Love Post Malone before Post Malone was a big thing.
His SoundCloud is when I found him.
Like, really? Way, way, way early.
His first single ever. And I was like, Post Malone is awesome. And then maybe like 2 years ago, people started knowing him.
Are there any hits on this album?
Yeah, this one.
Never heard it.
You never heard this song?
No, what? Man. Uh-uh. I guess I only know the stuff from a year ago.
Well, that's
the Tony Romo,
that's
Bolo.
That's normal.
Like, that's all I know.
Yeah. All right, give me one more, Mike D. You're Mount Rushmore.
And then I have Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
This record was your favorite?
It was my favorite. I listened to it the most.
Maybe my least favorite. You know what? The new one. Really? I don't like the new one.
You don't like it at all?
No. I don't care if it's secular, non-secular. Just give me good stuff. I just don't think his new album's that good.
Really?
I listened to it like 4 times, not into it. I love Kanye, too, by the way. Love him.
I did, too.
And My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is fine. I like 808 and Heartbeats. It's whatever better. And people didn't love that one.
What made this album so different?
It's darker. And like the beats are just like crazy.
Great song.
Yeah.
I would run to this one. Surprised me to run.
It's a great workout song.
Yeah. What was the, is it 808s and Heartbeats? Or Heartbeats and 808s?
808s and Heartbreaks.
Heartbreaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I saw him live around this album, so it also kind of stuck with me.
Well, there you go. The musically is kind of how we all fall.
I like it. There's a constant theme to all of us. I like it. It's kind of cool.
Which that theme is?
Oh, just different themes. Like mine was beach. Yours is your life. Life, very life-driven.
Oh, true. Mine's different chapters of my life.
Yeah.
Yours is the beach, and Mike D's is I'm a 12-year-old locked in my parents' basement just trying to be heard.
I love it.
All right. I appreciate everybody hanging out for this episode. You can check Eddie out on the Sore Loser Sports Podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, check it out. Sore Losers. You guys do, how many shows a week do you guys do?
We do 5. We do try to do 5. And if ever we have like something come up or whatever, we'll do 4. But for the most part, we do 5 a week.
Check that out. Good to have you jump in, Eddie.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks
was fun.
Everybody for checking it out. And don't forget, on Monday, our boy Blanco Brown will be in.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he does the get up but we do an hour long talk about his life. Really interesting story. Interesting guy. Thank you very much. Let me encourage you to check out Ingrid Andress, that podcast. Let me encourage you to check out Thomas Rhett. We did one with him. Maybe our most listened to ever.
Oh, yeah.
The Thomas Rhett one.
Thomas Rhett.
Maybe the first Jake Owen would have had bigger numbers, but we moved all of our podcasts over to a new county.
So you lost some of the
old
numbers.
So we lost some of it. It's like baseball.
Yes.
You know, there are different stages where it's like in the modern era.
Right, right.
In the steroid era.
Right, right. But you got to get rid of all those numbers.
Yeah. Thank you guys for hanging out here on the Bobbycast. Appreciate you.